In the precious name of Jesus, who is our Savior and Lord, who calls us to come to him persistently in our prayers. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to our text for tonight. As Pastor mentioned, it's a reading from 1 Timothy chapter 2. As we look at 1 Timothy, we're going to actually look through a little bit of the whole book of 1 Timothy. But as we do, let's remember what a precious gift the gift of prayer is. You see, my hope would be that following the service tonight, as you leave worship, you would be reminded again how generous our God is. Generous in this way especially, that he invites us to come to him all the time, every day, about anything that's in our hearts and in our minds. What a gracious gift the gift of prayer is. Even recently, we've been talking about it here in worship as the vital breath of a Christian. As important as breathing is to our human lives, keeping us alive, so prayer is vital communication with God. It is such that Paul, in the lesson for tonight, spoke to the young pastor Timothy about the gift of prayer. If you have your Bibles open to 1 Timothy, look with me at chapter 3, for example. Chapter 3, Paul talks with Timothy about overseers and deacons. That's bishops, I guess we would say, and pastors, and we use the term elders. And then he goes on to give instruction to Timothy about how he ought to lead his life and his ministry and how important that is in chapter 4 and the days to come. Chapter 5, he speaks with the young pastor about how to deal with, how to respond to widows and elders, those who are elderly, and those who are slaves, how he's to respond to them, and how each of them are to live out their Christian lives. You get into chapter 6, and Paul talks with Timothy about money, about wealth. Tonight's lessons speak about resources and what blessings they are from God. Paul reminds Timothy not to love money more than God, but to recognize that it's the love of money that gets people into very deep spiritual problems. He talks about his charge to Timothy and how Timothy is to live and be an example for the church that he oversees and those that Paul has begun, the churches Paul started. But before all of this, go back to our text from 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Paul says to Timothy, I urge you, Timothy, first of all, to be a man of prayer. And he's speaking to Timothy, but also encouraging Timothy to speak to the church. The words from our text tonight speak to us about our individual Christian lives, our individual prayer life, but they also have implications for us as a church body, for us as a congregation. Paul was telling Timothy how Timothy ought to pray, but how he ought to encourage the churches to be people of prayer. If you will, I said it already, persistent people of prayer. So there are lots of topics that Paul talks about to Timothy, but he says, first of all, the very first one I want to talk with you about is prayer. And not just the first of many topics, the other way you can read that is that of first importance is prayer. That's probably a good reminder for us, too. Have you ever found yourself wondering about something and worrying about some situation in your life or what would happen in the days to come, and you worked on things and you tried hard and you figured and you supposed and you did all this stuff and then finally remembered that you hadn't prayed about it? God calls us to be people of prayer. And as God speaks to you and me, he reminds us tonight that the first thing that we need to do is to be persistent people of prayer, to bring before our Heavenly Father those needs and requests, all that we have because God calls us to know that He listens and He cares about those things on our hearts and minds. So in our text for tonight, Paul tells the young pastor Timothy, be a person of prayer and lead the church to be people of prayer. And as you pray, these are the kinds of prayers you might pray. Now, scholars think about these four types of prayer that are mentioned in verse 1 of the second chapter of 1 Timothy. And they say that there's little distinction, at least among the first three. But if we were to make a distinction, this might be the distinction we make. When you pray prayers of request, those are prayers based on need, urgent need. Urgent need that you may have, or urgent need of others you know and love. And when you pray, pray confidently for those urgent things that you want to bring before God's heavenly throne. That's the first kind of prayer. The second term he uses is a general word for prayer. And that word for prayer means that we recognize in our prayers that we ought to humble ourselves, that God is almighty. It's a way to adore Him in these prayers. And in these prayers, we bring before Him other praises, praising Him for the day and for the gift of life, praising Him for color and friendships, praising Him because He's good to us in so many and every way. First, let your prayers be prayers of request, and then humble prayers, secondly, adoring Him. The third type of prayer that's mentioned is intercession. And the commentaries say that that kind of prayer is the prayer that brings before God the desires of our hearts. Maybe it's not an urgent request. Maybe it's not a thing of life or death, but it's something that we can bring before God for ourselves and for others. Lord, help me to get an A on my math test. Lord, give us a beautifully sunny day tomorrow so that we can go on a picnic with the family. They're requests that are ours, maybe not urgent life or death things, but things that are on our minds and hearts that we can bring before our Heavenly Father. That's the third sort of prayer. And the fourth one that's mentioned is a prayer of thanksgiving. You know, if prayer is conversation with God, what do you suppose God would think if the only time we came to Him, the only time we spoke to Him, was asking for something? God, I really desperately need this. God, I want this. God, I desire these things. Those are good things, and God welcomes them. And at the same time, He welcomes us to thank Him. To thank Him for the gifts He's given, for the gift of life and faith, for the gift of the blessings of all the world. Each and every day, the blessing of family and friends and food and clothing and shelter and all He so richly gives to help us support this body and life. God, thank You. What a wonderful thing it is to come to our Lord in prayer, to know that He listens and that He's all-powerful, that He can answer any of these petitions and requests and prayers. Paul tells Timothy, and we're told by inspiration of God, as this is written for us too, that's what our prayer lives ought to be like, as persistent people of prayer, individually and as a congregation. Some of these things, Pastor will echo for us in our prayers this evening, in our congregational prayer. Thanking God, praising Him, requesting, and urgently asking for things we need and others around us need. God says this is a good thing. And Timothy is told by Paul, when you pray, you should pray these things for all people. And this image is chosen especially because there are people of every language and nation and tribe, color, all represented here as we pray for all people. We pray for those in our families and neighborhoods and workplaces, those in our acquaintance. We pray for people that we'll never know and may never meet this side of heaven. But as we pray for those who are in need, God knows them, and we pray that God would care for them and that we would be a part of the answer for the prayer we request. Lord, take care of this one or that one. And Lord, help me to know how I might be a part of caring for them too. In our text tonight, God tells Paul to tell Timothy to pray for all people, but he singles out in particular tonight, he says, pray for the kings and others in authority. Well, we don't use a king. We don't have a king in our country. There are some countries with kings and queens, and their people should pray for those leaders. We would say we need to pray for the president and others in authority in our state of Kansas, like our governor and the legislatures that serve both nationally and locally. Pray for them. Boy, especially during this season of all the politics and elections coming up, I'm reminded that I don't always pray for these people. Some of them I don't really appreciate, and I don't appreciate their politics, and I need to be convicted and reminded that I should pray for them, and I also need to be reminded to pray about them. And as we look to the elections coming, you need to be praying, we need to be praying, God, give us good and godly leaders who will lead us in good and godly ways. Some of us may wonder what choices we have, and we may not be very happy with one choice or the other, but God calls us to pray for our leaders. You know what God says in Romans chapter 13? He says that no authority is put in place unless God is the one who places that authority. Those who are in government are there by God's choosing. And if that's the case, we need to pray for them. And the reason that God calls us to pray especially for our leaders is that it's our leaders' responsibility to provide an atmosphere in which we can live in peace and harmony. You see, that's the next part of our text. This is the image we used, one of them, from last weekend. This idyllic scene of the mountains and calm waters and beautiful pastures, that we are the sheep of his pasture, and God promises to care for us. One of the ways he does that is through the leaders for whom we pray. And we're told in our text tonight that we should pray for our leaders so that they can provide an atmosphere for us that will be peaceful, so that it will be quiet, in order that we might live godly lives which are holy and pleasing to him. Our leaders have that responsibility of caring for us so that we can grow in peace and quiet in our Christian lives and in our Christian faith. Our text says this is pleasing to God. It is God's desire that our leaders lead in such a way and that we pray for them so that exactly that can take place. God desires peace. God desires peace so much that he sent Jesus, his one and only Son, to be our Savior, so that there would be peace between God and us in the man Christ Jesus. That's what our text tells us, that God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is in his heavenly realms, and that God sends a mediator, a go-between between God and all the people of the world. That the only way we have access to the Heavenly Father is through faith in Jesus. In his life and death and resurrection, we have access to the Father. And so as we have started tonight in our worship, and as Pastor leads us in a few moments, we'll go to the heavenly throne because we can go in Christ Jesus. Jesus invites us. Jesus' death for us gives us access to the Heavenly Father so that we can request those things that we need, so that we can humbly adore him, so that we can give him, bring to him the desires of our hearts, so that we can offer our words of thanksgiving and praise to him. That's his desire. His call, his desire, is for us to be persistent people of prayer. Not to forget that any day, any time, any moment, all the day, we should come before him, bringing what it is that we know we need, and others also. Finally, in our text for tonight, Paul says it's his desire, Paul's desire for Timothy, that they be ones who lift up holy hands. One of the things I read this week in preparing for the sermon is that people at that time often lifted their hands up with their palms open toward the heavens. Open, giving themselves to the Lord, and also being ready to receive from him his blessings and gifts. We raise our hands, holy hands, and we do so in prayer. Not with gestures toward others, or with a weapon to hurt or harm others, but Paul says to Timothy, I urge you that you be people of prayer, persistent people of prayer. May God bless you as you remember that we can bring before our Heavenly Father anywhere, anytime, everything on our hearts and minds. And may it give you peace and strength and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.